Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The power of attitude. What I want to talk about. The power of attitude. I read this quote by Chuck Swindoll about attitude. And Chuck Swindoll said, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. To me, it is more important than facts. Is more important than the past, more important than education, more important than money, than circumstances, more important than failures and than success. Your attitude is more important than what other people think about you. Your attitude is more important than your appearance, more important to your giftedness or your skill set. Your attitude will make or break you. Your attitude will make a church or break a church, a home, an individual. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding our attitude. We will embrace it for that day. We cannot change the past. We cannot change the fact that people will act a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is to play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced, says Swindoll, that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. Attitude. What I want to talk about today, attitude, the power of attitude. And I want our young people to get it. And I want us all to get it, the power of attitude. What you think on the inside affects how you live your life. I've been wrestling with this for a while. A few weeks, that young man jumped off the George Washington Bridge. The Rutgers student. And those young people who decided that it was all right to expose his infirmities, something wrong with their attitude. Then a few weeks ago, or last week or 2 weeks ago, a young, beautiful woman that went to school with my own kids here in Hackensack took her life. And I can imagine, what could be so bad that one 20-something years old would take their life. Attitude. What's on the inside? And then this week, I was down in South Carolina and I went to visit one of my cousins who's about 35 years old. He's a diabetic. He's unemployed. He's getting unemployment. He's got high blood pressure. And he sits in his room all day long, eating everything he wants to eat, not taking his insulin on time, not taking his high blood pressure medicine on time, getting up and deciding he's going to have soda after soda, and he's overweight, a TV-aholic, and I just wanted to shake him. I really wanted to smack him. And so I said, well, what do you want to do? I don't know. He's a smart young man, high school graduate, couldn't go to college. If nothing else, He's the son of my favorite cousin who died some years ago. And I feel like if I had died and he was alive, he would be talking to Monique the same way I was talking to him. I felt like you've got to change your attitude. You are diabetic, but you can live. There are people with diabetes who work every day. There's people with high blood pressure that works every day. You've got to change your attitude. Now, you didn't jump off the George Washington Bridge, but the end result is going to be the same thing. You are killing yourself, not because you don't know better. You've got a bad attitude. God help you if you got a bad attitude. How many of you know a bad attitude can mess you up? You can be smart. You can be pretty. You can be handsome. You can be in shape. You can have money, you can have a nice car, you can have jewelry, but if your attitude stinks, you stink. As a man or a woman thinks, so is he or so is she. And so we've got to find a way to get to the attitude. We've got to find a way to get to the mind. We've got to find a way to help people to see. Because I could see what it was doing to him. His mother could see what it was doing to him. But he can't see what it's doing to him. Anybody sit in the room all day long overheating, for God's sake? I said to him, go to the library. I said, get up out of that room. And he's sitting around hoping and praying that he's going to get Social Security. I said, I hope you don't get it. The worst thing in the world for you is to have this dependent mentality that you're just going to collect $300 or $400 a month. And here you are, 35 years old. You can make thousands. I don't think he liked me very much. But I was trying to save his life. I was trying to do what I think my cousin would have done for my own children. I was trying to help him to change his attitude. How many of you know sometimes you've got to make people mad to save them sometimes? You can't just go in, oh, how you doing? Let's have some cheese and grits and eggs together, and we'll both just die together, fat and out of shape, one limb rotting off at a time. Because, you know, sometimes young people think, it's not going to happen to me. I'm 35. I can do what I want to do. I can eat what I want to eat. Diabetes will kill you. And so will high blood pressure. And the most loving thing I could do was to get in his face. The most loving thing I could do was to say to him, you've got to change your attitude. And I said to him, because his father died of a stroke, I said, there's no excuse in this house. Nobody in this house ought to not be taking their medication. You know what it did to your father. Here you are with this poor me. I'm a diabetic, high blood pressure. My father died when he was 50, and I guess I'm on my way to die the same thing. And I said to him, I will not take it. Not without a fight. And I told him, I said, I want your goals by 4 o'clock today. I want some goals. I want to know what you want to do. I want to know how you're going to eat. I want to know how you're going to exercise. I want to know what kind of things you want to accomplish in your life. I didn't get him. He thinks I'm done. But I am not done yet. I owe it to my cousin Richard Jackson. I owe it to him to stay in his face. I owe it to him to say, "You, what your attitude? Your attitude is killing you. It's not your ignorance, it's your attitude. You're smart enough." Bible says, "It's a man thinketh." I have a question for you. How do you help somebody to change their thinking when their thinking is wrong? You know, this is not about diabetes. alone. It's not about high blood pressure alone. This is about a messed up mind. And it's not about, it's not necessarily about drugs and alcohol and sex. It's not about that alone. It's about when you got the wrong attitude. When you got a lazy, anybody know anybody with a lazy mind? Just lazy. And it's not just young people. We got some old folks just lazy. Won't do nothing. And they didn't just start that way. They've been that way. And you know anybody you just want to shake? You know anybody you want to smack in Jesus' name? I know there's some of you sitting out there saying, yeah, you, talking about me. Don't try it. I wouldn't recommend it. But how do you get somebody to shift? How do you get somebody to turn? How do you get somebody when you can see what they cannot see? When you can see that it's on the inside, that they're always blaming mama and daddy wasn't around and mama wasn't around and the white man this and I had a poor school system and this and that. All that negative stuff is just a messed up mind. I just want to smack them. How long you going to blame somebody else? It's an inside job. You need a mind transfusion. You got some messed up mentality. See, I'm talking to y'all too up here, trying to break it down. But your minds are sharp right now. But don't you let anybody take control of your mind. Your mind belongs to God. Don't. I've seen some beautiful young people here in this church in first grade and fifth grade and sixth grade, even middle school and high school, sharp, beautiful, smart. And then they gave their mind to somebody. Some little boy said, ooh. Or some little girl. Don't know nothing about the Lord. Don't want to know nothing about the Lord. And so you decided so you could fit in, you're going to give him your mind. Give him a piece of your mind. But don't give him your mind. Am I right? It's a man and woman think it's in their heart. So is that person. I'm all over the Bible today. Remember the prodigal son? His mind got him in trouble. He went out to the far country. But then the Bible says, when he came to himself, he came home. Some of us have almost lost our minds. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't point to anybody, but you know anybody that you think has almost lost their mind? I know you know at least one person. But it's one thing to lose your mind and just stay lost. But thanks be to God that every now and then you come to yourself and you come to your right mind. I was almost out of my mind, but I came to my right mind. I came to myself. I heard the voice of Jesus say, there's work to still be done. I came to myself and I turned around. Power of attitude. My grandfather was not the smartest man in the world with education and learning. My grandmother, neither. But they had a positive attitude. They had an optimistic. My grandfather, he was a sharecropper when he died, but he was trying his best to buy a farm in South Carolina. He had a positive attitude. Young people, I don't care what they say and what schools you go to, you can still make something out of yourself, but you've got to have an optimistic mindset. God help. I can't stand to hear young people 35 years old have no dreams whatsoever. My God, in this time when the economy is bad, it's the time for you to go to school, for God's sake. Borrow some money. Find a way. And if your kid go to school, go to the library and self-educate yourself. Read some books. Look at some positive videos. Get involved in something that will transform your mind. How do you transform your mind? If your mind is messed up, you know, sometimes people's mind is messed up and they just don't know it's messed up. That's why you got to have a cousin like me that will get in your face. He's sitting around, overweight. All he wants me to do is take him to breakfast. Lost half of his teeth. And not even trying to get new teeth. I had to say something. Won't listen to his mom. No, that's a preaching point. How do you get somebody to change their mind? Sometimes you really do have to shock them. Sometimes you have to say something they don't like. Sometimes you have to, it's tough love. Sometimes you can't hit them, but you really do have to shock them. And he, what is that called, you know, when you're diabetic and, what was it, Barbara? I was trying to say it, anthropathy or whatever it is. When neuropathy. And he had this sharp pains in his feet. And he couldn't walk for a month. I said, my God, if that didn't change your mind, what, I ought to smack you right now. He had neuropathy for 1 month and he couldn't walk for a month. And then I told him, I know when you couldn't walk, I know you were praying to the Lord. Lord, if you just let me walk again, Lord Jesus, if you just let me do this, I promise you I'm going to take my medicine on time. I know you were saying that and you know you ought to be taking your medicine on time. Changing your diet. Sometimes God's got to almost kill us to change our minds. And then sometimes God has got to send somebody. Sometimes we change our minds because of the people we are hanging around. Maybe he needs to hang around in a diabetic support group so somebody else can tell them their story. Maybe you ought to hang around with somebody who's lost their legs. Maybe you ought to hang around some people who deserves a right to speak into his life. I'm just talking about diabetics now. What I'm trying to say is, if you want to be positive, you cannot be positive hanging around negative people all the time. You have got to change the crowd you hang with. Power of attitude. God help us. We're losing too many of our young people. Too many young. Because everybody want to be nice. Nobody wants to correct and reprove. Everybody wants to be buddy. Pastors want to be buddy. I love all these kids up here. But sometimes the most loving thing I can say is turn the TV off. Do your homework. And let that little Johnny go. I'm messing with nobody. If your name's Johnny, I'm not talking about it. Let that little Greg go. Let that little whoever. Let Michael. Whatever. Attitude. And you'll find somebody that's going somewhere. Got a positive attitude. Find some Sometimes, how many of you know sometimes another parent can say things to your kids that your kids will accept better from them than they'll accept from you? Find somebody that can talk to some sense into your little Johnny or your little Mary Sue or whatever her name is, because attitude is important. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you got a messed up mind, you do need to spend some time in Sunday school, and you do need to spend some time in worship, because every now and then the wind blows in worship and it can blow some crap out of your mindset. It can blow some stuff out of your mind that can help you to come back to your right mind. Because if you're not careful, if we're not careful, we could be sitting right in church and go right to hell. Somebody sleep, wake him up. Tell him he's trying to get to your mind, and he can't get to your mind if you're asleep in the house right now. Wake up! The power of attitude. I asked my cousin, I said, well, what do you want to do? Oh, no. I said, well, did you graduate from high school? Yes. Isn't there a community college down here? Yes. Do you know how to swim? Yes. Does it hurt you to walk? Because you had that dropathy, whatever it is. I just want to know if it hurt him to walk. He says, not really, because he was dragging around. I thought it was hurting you just as he's overweight. I said, well, why don't you go swimming? I tried it the nice way first. But he kept getting into this negative mindset, and I had to shift. He had developed the idea that I'm in such bad shape, there's no sense trying. I've let myself go so far that I don't think I can turn around. It's been too long. It's too hard for me to change now. I'm too overweight now. My eating habits have been so bad. It's just too difficult. It's easier just to eat myself to death. He didn't say this now. This is what I'm thinking. To sit and watch TV. Get my unemployment check. So I can go to Dunkin' Donuts. So I can make it to Ingles or ShopRite that I can buy my soda and my donuts and my bread. And my grits and my cheese. And just sit there. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. But I'm going to tell you I can do all things. Through Christ that strengthens me. I know the road. I can't promise you it's going to be easy for you to change. I don't know what you're going through. But I know one thing. You can change if you want to change. It's not about being diabetic. It's not about high blood pressure. It's about whatever you're going through. It's about whatever you've given up, how you've given up on life. I am here to tell you, it starts with your attitude. You've got to be around positive people. You've got to be in worship. You've got to read some books sometime. You've got to expose yourself to positive people. You've got to get out of that crowd that say, just sit down and die. Never, never, never. When I die, I'm still going to be fighting for one more day. Now I know I got to go, but I'm going to fight until the last breath in my body. Stop wanting to be buddy-buddy with somebody who's killing themselves. If you can't talk turkey to them, send for somebody. Every family's got one somebody. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It used to be my mother, but you know, I think that I have taken her role now. You want to sit for the heavyweight, you're sitting for Janie Jackson, and she just tell you whether you liked it or not. And I found myself down in South Carolina saying, my God, I have become my mother. The Lord's been raising up this next generation these last 59 years, and here I was right in his face. You know, I talk about him smacking him. He just was probably close to smacking me. Young people, life can be tough. Don't let yourself get to the point where you don't have God in your life. 27-year-old, beautiful, beautiful young woman. I don't know how long that young person was. Young gay man, smart. But he was a child of God. He did not deserve the insensitivity of his classmates. He deserved privacy. Just like you want, and you and I want privacy. We've got to fight for our kids. My cousin is worth fighting for. He's worth him getting mad at me. He's worth me saying, I could see his face change when I said, I hope you don't get Social Security. He didn't say it, but I can imagine he had a few words. Because I see his potential. I see him dying too soon. That's physical death. But there's a whole lot of students who die mentally. They're physically okay. They died in their minds 10 years ago. Help me preach this thing. Don't you do that. You can feel like it. Because they have so much opportunity. So much opportunity. So much opportunity. So much opportunity. To be sitting in class acting a fool. In class. Give your mind. A man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're nothing, you're nothing. If you think you can't do nothing, you can't. But my Bible says, I can do all things, not some things. Whether you like it or you don't like it, I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we are late learners. Sometimes you really do need somebody to encourage you. You need somebody to get in your face. Sometimes you really do. You need somebody to help you see. It's sort of like me without these glasses. I know you're out there, but I can't identify you. But when I put these glasses, you need somebody to help you see. You need somebody to say, no, no, no. You can get over this. You can get through this. You come too far. You're too smart to stay right there. Oh, the Lord got great things in store for you. I heard Kayla say today, I don't know what God has got in store. I like her prayer. The fact, I don't know what God has got in store for me, but some things I can't even see, but I know he's got something in store for me. That girl is going to soar. And if she doesn't, I'm getting in her face too. We We need some readers. Go down to Parker School, some men readers. I don't know, call the school, take off 2 hours, go down there, because you might be the very one. So many of our kids don't have a father in their lives. They need somebody to just talk a little bass. Let's see if we can get our kids back. So many of our kids think so different than you do in your own house. You'd be surprised. They speak another language. They have symbols. I tell you, they have symbols. Some of the jewelry they wear, I'm telling you this, some of the jewelry they wear speaks languages. Tells their colleagues how far they'll go sexually. Whether they go all the way, whether they have oral sex, whether they do oral sex, or whether they'll have oral sex done to them. This is in church. I know you're somebody. Did he say that? Yeah. Yeah, I said it. Because it opened up my eyes. I said, really? I said, what? I just thought it was a nice bracelet. The rainbow. What's that rainbow? The rainbow. It means you're gay or you're gay friendly, whatever. That's just the top of the iceberg. I mean, I left out of this and said, oh my God, where have I been? And even more importantly, where have the church been? Where's the church been? And I am after their minds. The devil, if the devil got your mind, I know some people, Jocelyn's always saying, Jocelyn Rochester, she always saying that I'm after your money. No, I'm after your mind. If I can get your mind, I ain't worried about your money. Too many of our kids are gone. 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 Because the church wants to be nice.